You're listening to Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.
Welcome back, and I'm joined by Chris from the Victories. All right, Chris?
How you doing, Tony? Good?
I'm all good. Yeah, yourself?
Yeah, I'm cool, man.
Now, you're here for the festival, because you was down here yesterday. You was on second on stage one. It was hot up there as well. I was on stage, but your drummer was, like, melting.
I did get told that it looked like he'd lost a few pounds up there. But, yeah, it was very hot. It was real sweatbox.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it would tell you what, it was hard. We're only a small band, you see. Yeah. So playing a stage like that, I've never played a stage as big as that.
It's a bigger stage than last year. They've got a bigger overhang. It does. Yeah. It's colossal, isn't it?
Yeah, I definitely noticed that. Obviously, you do a lot of running about, and for 45 minutes, it definitely is.
Is it good for a band like yourself, like being, you know, like you're up and coming, to the experience you're gaining from the early slot, being on such a big stage?
100%. Because, like, you know, it's all well and good us putting on a headline slot over at the Essex Arms CX. You could pack that out pretty well.
Yeah, it's quite small.
With your friends and all that. But obviously, being on a bill where there are much bigger acts, for example, like Sister Sledge, Billy Ocean, or particularly on our day, Rebecca Ferguson, Billy Ocean, and things like that, it kind of brings a degree of humility that back, you know, it's quite grounding. Obviously, kind of, you know, yeah, I do feel nervous coming on early on stage.
It's good nerves, isn't it? Especially at the end, when because you're relieved, you go to the bar and you've got that for you, haven't you? What a great
pint after is, you know, it feels well deserved if you come off thinking, yeah, I've done all right then. But I've got to admit, like, personally, I feel like we could have played better. But apart from that, like, it was wicked. You know, it was good, really good experience.
The sound system's a lot different to last year. They got the array speakers up, so it really does travel. The sound's amazing. But it's good to work with the sound guys as well, getting all your equipment, you know, spot on before you go live to the audience.
And, of course. It's always a little bit more difficult in a live setting like that, open air, obviously, where there are people just there. You know, like in a gig, you can sound check well before anyone is even allowed to come in.
Yeah, and you've got the fit photos as well, and getting all the photos.
Yeah.
Now, you're the band, the Victories, yourself, Luke and Aaron.
Yep.
Where did the name come from? Where did you get the Victories from?
We formed the band when I was around about 12, and it sounds really immature, this, but we used to be a band called Little Victories. And the name came from a song by the Horrors, Southend based band that broke through. They made it pretty big in, I think it must have been about 2009. I remember one of my mates was really into them, and we just thought, we didn't really put overly too much thought in it. So we just basically said, let's just call ourselves Little Victories. And then after a while, we got tiresome in the name. We called ourselves The Victories. More recently, like, it's funny how, like, the name still keeps on going for evolutions, because we, like, want to try and market ourselves without the. You know, we don't want the Victories. We want to be called
Victories.
Just Victories, yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things that I don't dislike about the band, but I kind of think, like, if I made the band now, I'd always, like, think a little bit more about the name. Make sure it has some sort of story, a bit more in depth.
I like the name. I think it's a great name.
Thank you.
It's got a band, proper band name, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's tough. Victories on stage.
I've got a few other names that, like, I think now, like, I wouldn't mind calling it something like, I don't know, there's two. I hear, like, differing views, like, what? No, I just keep it as Victories. Obviously, we wouldn't change it now, but, like, if ever I'd done a side project, I reckon I'd ever probably call it either Black Mountain Blues or Casino. But these are just personal folks that are just, you know, they don't really mean anything at the minute. Nothing at all.
You look a little bit like what's the chap from the
Elvis.
Yes. Well, it's the Quiff, isn't it?
Yeah, there's that. I get a lot of Danny Zuko.
Yeah, Danny Zuko.
Yeah. It's funny, because there was this one time over at university, this was about when was it? It was Halloween. When is that? November, isn't it?
Yeah, November.
So I remember, obviously, someone was dressed as Sandy, and the girl came up to me and was like, Danny, you're going clubbing tonight? And I was like, I'm really sorry, but this is how I dress normally. And it was a little bit embarrassing. She was like, oh, okay.
Cool look, though. It's cool.
Thank you.
You got the model looks, haven't you? So, you could always do a bit of modelling if you in between, part-time.
I don't know. I don't think I'm, like, quite as cool for that.
Let's get to the music. What would you say your musical genre is, if you took, you know, for the listeners, what type of music would you say you do?
This is such a funny question, because, like, always the go-to answer would be rock, but unfortunately I feel like there's so many dimensions to what we do, it would be unjust to say, oh, we like rock, and have people think we're like Motorhead, because that's definitely not the case. I'd say, if you wanted to draw influence, I'd like not to put us up in good stead or anything like that, but I'd like to think we draw a lot of influence from Queens of the Stone Age, mm-hmm. a little bit from the Arctic Monkeys, a few like stoner rock bands, say like Caius, Fu Manchu, things like that. So I'd like to think it's quite heavy, but with a pop kind of, not pop as in chart music, but a little bit of a tangible spin on it.
Yeah.
Accessible, yeah. I'd like to think.
You're going to do a track for us.
Yes, I will.
Which is great. What have you picked for us?
Ooh. I think I'll... I don't know. I'm going to do a song that you're going to play later on. It's called Conquistador.
Oh, cool. Take it away.
They'll never show no remorse. Let you know what we fight for. Promised land, yes, for your name, Conquistador. Last stand. No more survivors. Mercy for the weak. Give me black, give me black. Give me conquistador. And you know what we fight for. The promised land, yes, for your name, conquistador.
Six boy, Tony Smith. Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.
Oh, fantastic, mate!
Thank you.
Great song. We're going to be playing the like a production version later on, aren't we?
Yeah. Tell you, the whole band. Spot there. I was a little bit like, oh, what do I play? What do I play? So I thought, go on in. Yeah, go.
Well, let's start with the acoustic version, and then we'll see what it's like with the whole band as well.
In that respect, that's quite cool because it's a bit different.
Yeah, yeah. You're writing. You take it. You wrote that song.
Oh yeah.
Tell us about the writing. How does that work? Did you do that together as a band, or did you all sit there and pen the lyrics? Or did you kind of lyrics first, add a bit of riff to it, or how does it work?
Between the three of us, I don't think any of us particularly claim fame to writing any one particular song. What usually happens, we'll just sit us all in a room. We'll say, like, oh, like one of us will be like, oh, I've got a riff, let's try it out, and then we just jam. Sometimes I've noticed we have this tendency to have a song, like all the parts of a song relatively there in the first couple of sessions of writing it, but it would take a good 2-3 months to actually be really very comfortable with it and say, actually, this is what the finished product is. And obviously, like, we'll have other people sit in and say, like, oh, well, this could be done, that could be done, because, like, I feel like when you write your own music, it's very easy to get caught up in what you think is right, which isn't necessarily the best for that song. It's good to listen to other people. It might hurt a little bit to hear that, oh, like, you know, this that's rubbish, you need to do this or do that. As long as it's good to keep hold of that constructive criticism. So yeah, like, it's almost like we'll have like a good 2-month period where it's a little bit up in the air, the parts are there but it's not refined. Then we'll kind of go for a bit of an evaluative process where we sit down and think concisely what needs to be done to it to really get the most out of that song, and then we're pretty much comfortable with it.
Was you all involved in music before the band formed? How did the band form? I take it you're all musicians, so did you kind of get together? I know it was back at school, but were you doing other things before you decided to form that?
Not particularly. It's funny because I remember my dad always tried to teach me how to play guitar I was never really bothered about it. And then when my brother came home from uni, he really learned how to play properly, you know, and I was quite taken away by that. I was only 12, so then I had it in my mind, like, oh, look, you know, we're going to go to school and I'm going to find the right people to start a band and all this. And it's a bit, it sounds a bit silly now, because it's just like, you know, we'd spend 2 hours after school playing Xbox and playing guitars, like, with three of my mates. And then obviously, like, you know what, I met Aaron. I actually think he was running away from someone. I know it sounds really silly.
Running down the road.
Oh yeah. Oh no. This was at school. We were in one of the practice rooms. It's me and like the pals I was with. I was in the band at the time, and suddenly, like, we didn't have a drummer, and we had a drum kit there. God knows why we got a. We decided to get the drum room, but he was like, "Oh, can I stick around in there for a bit?" It's like, "Yeah, go on then." And then he was like, you know, he had some sticks he played anyway. So he's like, "Oh, can I join in then?" After a while, like, "Yeah, go on then." And I remember we played. The Lost Art of Keeping a Secret by Queens of the Stone Age, and it really worked well. And we were only 12, and from then on, me and Aaron have been tight ever since. Luke joined the band when we were a little bit older, so I think we met him when I was about 15. I actually thought he was a madman. did you see the gig yesterday that I was playing?
Yeah, yeah.
For anyone that hasn't seen us or heard of us before. The bassist of our band, Luke, who couldn't join us today, he's pretty mad when he comes to moving. Like, the guy moves on stage. Like, yeah.
You're an energetic band, though, aren't you?
I'd like to think so. I've got to admit, I do find it hard to keep up with the other boys. Obviously, Aaron and Luke are very animated, and I find it hard to, you know, keep up without looking like I'm dancing terribly, you know. The boys, like, it's just funny because the night I met Luke was at a band night, and keg school in Chelmsford.
Was that one time a band camp was famous?
Oh yeah, it was. we won't go too deep into that one time at band camp, but the strap lock on his bass broke. Yeah. And I remember him. I remember saying to like the guys of the band, Aaron and this other guy, like, God, he moves a little bit. Like, we're all thinking, like, oh, a little bit wary of him. He's a bit. He looks a bit nuts. And he came into the green room whilst we were getting ready to set up, play after his band. And he was like, anyone got a bass? And I remember like the old bassist, he was like, yeah, go on, you could use mine. I was like, dude, do not give that man it. And obviously, sooner or later, he ended up joining the band anyway. So we were so cautious of this one guy, and then obviously he turns out to be my best mate a couple
of
years
ago. Great. And that's the way it should be, shouldn't it? Should we do another track?
Sure, let's do it.
What do you fancy doing?
I'm going to do another one of mine, my own. It's called One More Thing.
Take it away.
View up from the wall down again. You've had too much to think. So they say, half mighty short-sighted run off the mill, climbs to the slow, to restrain by the pills that keep them in line and that bay on the bay on the bay on the slave to desire. That's a for to pay you. My sarcastic heart had gone to waste. At that short regard for the pain, for stop of your recovery. Get away from the leather-clad girls shackled in chains. Give me textbook answers ripped from the page. Yeah, do me wrong and do it again and again and again. I'm a slave to desire, tackled to the chains. My sarcastic heart had gone to waste.
Well done, fantastic. Cheers. One of your own?
Yep, one of mine. Yep, yep. I've got to be honest, I don't like covers that much.
Do you know, both of your tracks, really catchy songs, but catch on the guitar as well. The acoustics of the tracks, fantastic for acoustic. It's like it's made for acoustic.
Cheers. You know what, it's funny, because I like to think we're a band that can really adapt to changing circumstances. For example, I feel like we could play the same song in a very particular style like we do on stage, but when you strip it back, I do think we can pull off doing something a little bit different. Obviously that's not for me to say, obviously. Mm. Like,
but you're gigging at the moment, obviously here at the festival. What's next? You got others up?
To be honest, we're actually keeping a little bit quiet because we've got a big end to the summer. Mm-hmm. We're headlining the Flag Factory Festival.
Yeah, I see that. On Green. Facebook, because you're on Facebook, aren't you?
Yeah, we're on Facebook, Twitter. We haven't got a website just yet, but we're looking at that. We've got all the standards, Facebook, Twitter, Instagrams, SoundClouds.
Flag Factory, Ollie Hookings.
Yep, Oliver, yep.
He's doing, does well. They do quite a few events, actually. There's got some open mics as well. The White Horse.
Yep.
Is normally where you're going to be. They've got different venues, but a lot of it's the White Horse. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be great.
Oh, I'm really excited. It's funny because we've been given this headline slot on the Friday night. And I found out about this quite a few months ago, obviously, when the festival was unannounced and things like that. And then, out of the blue, obviously I'm good mates with Ollie, and we hang out with like a similar group of friends and things like that. He turned around and said to me, I think it was the band Electric Childhouse.
Yep,
we were out of their EP launch. This was in
they
played yesterday. Saw them, they were cool. Wicked band live, yeah, absolutely insane. But yeah, we were out of their launch, and then Ollie turned around and said to me, like, oh, do you fancy working for the Flag Factory this year? So I've been doing a lot of like, I don't want to say manager, because that seems a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, I get paid to basically like look after the festival and things yeah. like that. And so yeah, I'm as well as playing it, I'm working for it as well. So the Flag Fantastic. Factory Festival this year is a big deal for me personally, because I want to make sure
it does well.
Yeah, you know.
What about things like you've got a lot of reality TV on at the moment, so X Factor and things like that. Britain's Got Talent, is that something you'd ever look at doing? Or
not for us.
It's funny. Your own route?
A lot of people complain about things like X Factor, but realistically, a lot of people complain about the state of the quote unquote state of the music industry.
Yeah.
The fact is, there's always been pop music. You know, I don't think it's particularly a bad thing, the way I see it, although it's a personal opinion whether you like it or not. If there wasn't pop music that you didn't like, then you'd have nothing to gauge the good music against.
Absolutely.
So in that respect, I have no beef with pop music. I may not like it, but it doesn't necessarily mean I think it shouldn't exist. You know, you hear a lot of people that are very anal about their music tastes, and obviously I just don't think that kind of goes against what music's for.
I was chatting to someone backstage. It was during the Billy Ocean when he was on stage, actually. And we were saying how well he worked the crowd. He was bringing the crowd in. The going gets tough, and he's already. Everyone knows he's going to sing the song, because he's already talking about what's happening when the tough gets going, and everyone's singing it back to him before he's even broken into the song. He's going from left to right on stage, travelling so everyone can see him, pulling people. Waving to people, acknowledging the people in the front. And I was chatting to someone, and they were saying about the reality TV people, where they've trained to look at the cameras all the time, follow the camera, so your eyes are always on the camera, that it affects their live performance. So where's the old school, have never done that. I'm only used to getting the audience straight up, and I've noticed it on quite a few acts, some of the raw acts who've just gone in, they've built their way up, they're used to dealing with the crowd, and then some of the newer people have thrust into the limelight, struggle a little bit.
That doesn't seem like the silly thing to say. I mean, I think that sounds like, I mean, I've never really thought about that, but I understand why. I mean, like, for example, people like Rebecca Ferguson, not at all an issue, but you can understand like where she's come from. She went through?
She came fourth in 2011. She's kind of gone jazz now. So I think the new album's all about the blues. Funny, it's jazz blues. Yeah. It's all A Lady Sings the Blues. Sorry, it's a new album. I thought a little bit. It was great singing. I thought could engage more with the crowd, my next tune is this and thank you, and rather than trying to draw it out of the crowd. And on a festival you have to draw it out of the crowd.
For me that sounds like
your drummer certainly did that.
he was melting, wasn't he?
He reminds me of the Muppets with the drummer in the Muppets. It stands up when he's eating all the drums all over the place. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, it's funny because I've had people tell me he looks like Mr. Tumnus, Witch in the Wardrobe. Like, I think all three of us have got ringers. Luke looks like Teen Wolf.
Oh right, yeah.
Apparently, so this isn't my words. I obviously look like Danny Zuko. Or
Teen Wolf, that's a series, but people probably don't remember it. But it was Teen. Well, it came off the back of the film, really, because the boy turns into a part wolf, isn't it?
Is it Teen Wolf or the American Werewolf or something?
American Werewolf, it had a couple, didn't you? It had a big era of different type of films.
Yeah,
you had the film where he, the chap from, I can't think of his name now. I mean, mine's gone. Back to the Future bloke was in it, where the boy kept turning into a wolf.
I forgot his name.
I forget his name.
It's a brilliant film.
It's a great film. Classic. Anyway, but that sparked loads of those type of little...
Michael J. Fox.
That's it. Sparked loads of those little... American Werewolf came out. There's that whole thing. We haven't had a wolf film for years. They always remake something, so that's probably the next big thing in the cinema. So what's next for you? You've got the busy year. You've topped it up. Anything on the EP inside? You looking at doing anything like that?
Basically, we recorded an EP like when we were a bit younger, and I feel like in hindsight we were maybe a little bit too, forward with what we were doing. I definitely think some of our songwriting skills were very premature at the time, even though we thought we were rock stars. Obviously, now these days, I think we're a lot more grounded about what we do, and I think we've got a much more realistic perception of what we want and what is possible and what is how we should act and behave. So long story short, I feel like anything that we've done in the past isn't representative of what we do now.
Mm-hmm. You've got videos out as well, haven't you? You've got a few floating around.
Just a few live ones. But basically, the reason why it's some might think we're holding out a little bit on what we've got. We've got the tunes, I think. I think we've got the songs that are ready to be recorded. As I was saying to you earlier, we had a single ready for last year. And where we had a bit of interest from an independent label White Room, because that turned into that was a bit up in the air at the time. But then during the recording process, it turned into a bit more of a certainty. So therefore, we've kind of put off that recording and the release and things like that. So we are hoping to get something released on them. Obviously, like nothing's set in stone, obviously. But so like, I won't go around saying all these promises, but. Hopefully by December we'll definitely have a solidified music video, EP, songs, you know, songs that we won't market as demos and like say, look, this is what we've got and this is who we are.
So you've got big things coming up. It's going to be great. You've got to come back and visit us when you've with the whole band as well. Complete session.
It's a shame the boys couldn't be here today,
but that's okay. We'll get them in. And you got loads of stuff coming out. So the next time you come down, you can show us, you know, how the band's evolving basically all the time.
I'd like to think so. Anyway, we're kind of playing our cards a little bit close to our chest at the minute, which is. Not frustrating, but you do get a little bit itchy. Like recently, we've been a bit like, I'm looking forward to actually getting something out there, and you know, when's the next thing coming on? Like we're really looking forward to the festival. The festival is the, I think it's going to be a big part,
highlight of the year kind of thing
for us. Yeah, because we've never headlined a festival. Mm. I know it's obviously only local, but it's for us. It means a lot. And also Flag Factory Festival is prestigious for us because of how alternative it is. Obviously, what with Brentwood and Essex got a bit of a name for the TOWIE scene. Mm-hmm. I really do think the Flag Factory Festival was a manifestation of a statement that runs against that. Mm-hmm. You know, the people, the clientele of that festival
rise against the establishment kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, they're not the run of the mill, and for me, it's great to be spearheading that.
That's okay.
spearheading that on the Friday night.
Yeah, sounds good. People want to get in touch with you now. You've got they can get you on Facebook. You're on Facebook. What's the Facebook address? It's just Victories, isn't it?
If you type in on Facebook, just Victories, there we are. On Twitter, we are the_Victories. On Instagram, just the Victories, one word. What am I missing? SoundCloud, if you type in The Victories, you'll find us.
And it comes up on the Facebook as well. I noticed you've got the SoundCloud link, so you can just if you go to Facebook, find it, and more or less you can go from there. So, listen, it's been fantastic, Chris, having you in.
Cheers, man.
I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for the live set. We're going to play one of your tracks now, which is a track you played earlier on. Tell us about this, because this is the full version.
Yep.
With the rest of the guys. Is there a lot of difference in it?
Oh, that's not for me to say.
Should we just find out?
Yeah, let's find out.
Let's give it a call.
you know.
You're listening to Sunday Lunch with Tony Smith on Phoenix 98 FM.
The our full version now from the Victories. And thanks to Chris for coming in and chatting to us about the music, the festival. And you can, if you missed that, you can play it again on demand from probably about tomorrow, late tomorrow afternoon on phoenixfm.com under the show page blog, which is at the Sunday Lunch Show. You can also find us on Facebook, Sunday Lunch Show, or Phoenix FM, or at Phoenix FM if you're looking on Twitter. But that'll all be going out tomorrow, so you can play it over and over and over again. Right, we've got a bit of years and years coming up, and then we'll be talking back on the Brentwood Festival.